at your neighbor right here and tell them with a made up mind that I am
going
forward. What exactly does this mean? I asked myself the question because when I was coming up in school, I don't recall being taught or heard anyone using this two-word phrase, going forward, in which has become a very popular quote. And me being me, wanted to know where did it come from, so I did some investigating. You see, I pulled out my tablet, just like you do, and I Googled the phrase, and this is what popped up. Going forward is a relatively new and apparently convenient way to indicate a progression in time from the present. The term suggests a continuing and progressive movement rather than, as in the future, can sometimes mean some specific future date. That was one definition. Not clear enough, so I scrolled down and I saw this. Speakers in the business world and in government are fond of saying going forward to mean from now on, in the future, or even now. It gives a sense of action, purpose, and direction, which appeals to many people. I needed a little bit more, so I went further, and as I scrolled down, I saw three-word columns that were related to going forward. And in the progression column as a noun, I saw advance, betterment, improvement, promotion, step forward, furtherance, development, and growth. In the advance column, I saw accelerate, achieve, conquer, continue, drive, elevate, press on, proceed, progress, propel, and push ahead. In the progress column, as a verb, I saw cover ground, forge ahead, get along, get on, keep moving, make strides, and move on. I then say, okay, I got it. But that's the world's definition, which is good. But as Christians, I think we need a biblical explanation. Amen? Therefore, I believe that God is using Paul, who is also known as Saul this morning, as a strong example to enlighten and enrich us through his faith walk, what going forward really looks like. And before I'm done, I will prove my case. But let's deal with first things first. Here in the text, if we were to look at verse 4, we would hear the Apostle Paul sharing his personal testimony. You see, he is reflecting back over his life, if you will. And in his reflection, he sees all the things he has accomplished on his own. You see, he was one of those self-righteous people who would toot their own horn. In other words, in time past, as he thought more highly of himself than he ought to, boasting about his pedigree and all of his self-achievements. And we know this to be true when he declared in the word, if anyone else think he has reason to put more confidence in the flesh, I have more. You see, here Paul is claiming to have bragging rights, more bragging rights than anyone else. And looking at Paul's background, I could almost see and understand why he was so arrogant and conceited. You see, the scripture tells us that his privileges started in the beginning when Paul was saying that he had the right birth, circumcised on the eighth day, claiming to be a true Jewish believer who was blessed to have believing parents who had reared him up in a lap of luxury. Understand, my brothers and sisters, he was born into a home of wealth, born with a silver spoon, as some would say. You see, his family was filthy rich Jews living in one of the most progressive of Oriental cities. He attended prestigious colleges and sat at the feet of some of the greatest teachers ever, who gave him excellent training in Jewish and Greek culture. He was out of the people of Israel, meaning he had the right national heritage, and a very special relationship with God, for he was one among the chosen. In other words, he was not grafted into the covenant race, for his parents were Jews, making him to have been born in the right nation among the right people. Amen. He was an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout people who were adherent to God's law. You see, he was not of the so-called lost tribes that gave Israel their first king, but was from the tribe that remained true to the Davidic throne when other tribes rebelled. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Here, Paul claimed to have the right language and the right customs. Even when the Jews were conquered and scattered all over the world, Paul says that a believing Jew would refuse to give up his Jewish language and customs. And here we see Paul is proudly saying he and his family continue to practice Jewish customs as they never cease from speaking their native tongue to mark their faithfulness. He was a Pharisee who had a right religion. You see, the Pharisees were straight, strict religionists whose name meant the separated ones. Paul devoted his whole life to the most segregated and demanding religion ever known to man. He had zeal. Paul stood and fought for his religion. He pursued and persecuted the Christian church. His focus and mission was to wipe out any cause that differed from his. He was faultless. Paul claimed he had sought to keep the law, and he kept it accurately, completely, and fully. You see, this doesn't mean that Paul was sinless. It just simply means that when Paul sinned, he obeyed the law and took his sacrifice to the temple. He obeyed all the commandments, rituals, and ceremonies, just like the scripture said. He was faultless, ritually and ceremonially, in the righteousness of the law. And you can find all this in verse 4 through 6. But in the next verse, oh boy, this is when things begin to get good. Somebody say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, things begin to shift right before our eyes in verse 7 when Paul said, but, somebody say, but, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I believe something began to stir in his spirit. For I can almost hear Paul saying in his letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi, I feel like testifying. For I believe his mind went back to the day when he was converted. You see, while on my journey, I'm talking about Paul, to the synagogue in a wild pursuit to persecute Christians. And if I found anyone there who belonged to the way, y'all know who the way is, right? And I don't care whether you were a man or a woman. If Jesus Christ was your Lord, I was taking you down as a prisoner to Jerusalem. But when I came near Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around me. And I fell to the ground as I heard a voice but did not see a face say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And so, to make a long story short, when I got up from the ground and I opened my eyes, I couldn't see nothing for 3 whole days. So then my partners in crime, the men that were with me, took me by the hand and led me into Damascus, where I had an eye-opening experience. Y'all didn't hear me. You see, in Damascus, there lived a man named Ananias, who was called by God in a vision to go to the house of Judas on the street called Straight and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And as I was caught up in a vision, I saw him coming to lay hands on me in order to restore my sight. And I want you to know that Ananias was a little hesitant to go at first because of the many bad reports he had heard about me, all the harm I had done to God's holy people. But the Lord said to him, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And I want you all to know right here that I thank God for Ananias, for he then got up from that position and repositioned himself and came to the house and laid his hands on me, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to say to you again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from my eyes and I could see again. And that's when I got up and was baptized. And this is why I consider everything a loss. Paul is saying I forfeit and cast away all things, starting with my religious position I have attained. But not only that, my social, financial, intellectual, and political gains, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And as a matter of fact, I throw them away, for I consider them nothing, rubbish, garbage, trash, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. For I know now that my righteousness is as filthy rags, and that which is through faith in Jesus Christ is the true righteousness which comes from God. You see, what I'm getting at is I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and be a partner in his suffering. And I know this might sound crazy for most of us are willing to share in the blessings of Christ, but we don't want nothing to do with the sufferings. And this is one of our major problems in life. We don't want to go through nothing. Can I get a witness up in here? Paul wanted to become like him, Jesus, in his suffering and death. You see, he sought an eternal experience with Christ. Understand, he is totally committed to that glorious day of redemption. He lives for that day and that day alone. And if there is any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, you can count Paul in. And another thing I want you to know, New Elam, while we are on the subject, that I have not already obtained all this, nor have I arrived at my goal. Understand, I'm not saying that I have it all together or I got it made, for I'm still a work in progress. Is that you? So I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Understand, my brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. So don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But one thing I do, and we should too, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Look at your neighbor right here and say, I am going forward. And so am I. Minister Keith, I'm getting ready to close and get up out here. But before I go, I want to leave you with three things revealed to me that we must do going forward. And I'm going to give you the list and then I'm gone. Amen? Amen. The first thing is let go of the past, good or bad, according to Paul. Amen. In other words, what happened last night, last week, last year, 5, 10, or 40 years ago, I suggest you let it go, because we all live in a glass house. So let ye without sin cast the first stone. In other words, we can't go forward if we keep looking back. For the word tells us that no man who put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Amen? Secondly, we need to work in the present, in the right now. And salvation is key. For if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you're saved, then you need to continue to build your relationship with Christ through prayer, Bible study, Sunday school, and worship service. I tell you the truth, church, we need to be about the Father's business and continue to build on the foundation that has been laid in our lives. Thirdly, we must focus on the future. Understand, while we are working out our soul salvation with fear and trembling, we need to keep our heart and mind focused on Jesus. Because one day, and from the way the world is turning, I believe it won't be very long. And I'm almost done. Jesus is going to crack the sky. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are left shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want to go back and live with Jesus. I'm going to do all I can to make sure that I don't be left behind. I'm going to keep on pressing toward the goal to win the prize from which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I'm not crazy. I know that there are going to be some setbacks and some setups. But no matter what come, no matter what go, we have to keep on keeping on. Understand, church, even when the road get rough and the going get tough and the hills get very hard to climb, but if you have decided, New Elam, to make Jesus your choice, hear me now. You got to keep pressing on. Keep pressing onward and upward. We got to keep pressing just like Paul. Accelerate, achieve, conquer, continue. We got to continue to drive, elevate, press on, proceed, progress, propel, and push ahead. Understand, church, we have to cover ground, forge ahead, get along, get on, keep going, make strides, and move on for betterment, improvement, promotion, furtherance, development, and growth in Christ. That's why we can't give up and we can't give in. We got to keep pressing on no matter what, New Elam, until he calls us home eternally. And I want you to know this morning, who is willing to go forward? Is it you on my left? Is it you on my right? Are you still willing to go forward despite how you feel right now? And if your answer is yes, I want you to know going forward, family and friends, or in other words, from now on, or if you like better, from this day forward, as a unified church, understand there has to be a real change. Change of heart, renewed minds, new attitudes, Christian love for one another, forgiveness, and humble spirits. As you know what? And as members of the body of Christ, you must know your part, do your part, know your purpose, and stay in your lane. So we won't have to worry about having no more church accidents going forward. Amen. The doors of the church are open. To anyone that feels like going forward this morning, who this morning feel like pressing on, pressing for the blessing, which is heavenward in Christ Jesus. Will there be one today? You can come today by way of baptism, letter, or Christian experience. The deacons are here to take you by the hand and walk you through the process. All you have to do is step out on faith, and God will do the rest. Will there be one today?